During post-production, our special guest Phyllis asked me to remind our listeners that all of her thoughts and comments are for entertainment purposes only. The DivaCast, number 56, 9 July 2007. Everybody, we are the Divas of the DivaCast, and we are five fun, fabulous 40-something females, and I am Suzanne.
I'm Sharon.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Carrie.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. And we're missing Julie tonight.
We are missing Julie.
Yeah.
She's we do miss her. And why are we missing Julie tonight, girls?
We are delving into the arena that Julie just... This was one of her sit-out times, and that's okay.
Well, Julie just is not real into the psychic-y type of...
Psychicness, astrology.
Type of thing.
Yeah. Mm. She's really not comfortable with that. But we are, and actually when Robin just did that little blurb with the music, that's kind of a nice segue into our guest tonight, because Mercury, the planet Mercury, is in retrograde, and astrologically speaking, everything with communications kind of goes haywire. So I think that's kind of funny, and the fact that you guys were late tonight and everything's just kind of not gone our way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But our lovely guests will be able to clue us in more about that. But tonight we are interviewing a very special guest, and her name is Phyllis. Phyllis assists a lot of other people in special and unique ways. And that sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? But she helps people make challenging life choices. You know, when you get stuck and you have a big decision to make and you think, oh, I don't know which way to go.
Call Phyllis.
She's okay. The one. So she uses both astrology and her gift of intuition. She's also an author, by the way, and she formerly wrote in monthly astrological columns in various parenting magazines. And I thought that was really cool. I usually really like those.
It's amazing how many people really follow that. I'm curious and interested, but I am not living my life according to the daily
what?
Astrology.
That would be Sharon, and that was Suzanne yelling.
So I find it interesting that how many people really...
Suzanne does, don't you? Is it a daily thing, or is it just once in a while? Or
it's if I have my book or not, daily astrological guide. So I don't live my life by it, but I certainly take it into consideration. And both my husband and I have noticed definite trends, astrological trends, but very interesting.
I think it's interesting too. And I know Phyllis will fill us in. The moon has a significant impact on the oceans and the tides and all of that. Why wouldn't the same kind of effect, since we're mostly water anyway? So I just...
Well, the moon also has a big play in how hospitals with patients, people are just going crazy.
With the full moon?
Yeah, it's full moon. Like, oh, it must be a full moon.
Well, let's bring her in to talk about that.
No, let's just... You and I can talk.
That was Sharon again. And of course, if you're interested in having a teleconsult with Phyllis, you can contact her at phyl@newmail, that's NUMAIL.org. And of course, we will post that information on our website, thedivacast.com. So, hey, Phyllis. Hi, welcome to the DivaCast.
Thank you. Good evening, girls.
Hey, Phyllis, how are you?
I'm great. Well, let's start with a few little tidbits about each one of you.
Excellent.
Amy.
Yes.
Born the 29th of October, you're a Scorpio.
That would be me.
Mm-hmm. Now, every Scorpio that I know currently has wanderlust. Are you planning a trip?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I actually am planning a trip. We're planning to go to Switzerland and Italy.
Mm-hmm. If you're not planning it or on a trip currently, you're going to be in a bad mood for a few weeks. Now, Scorpios do need to get away every now and then and just think and rejuvenate.
Aww.
That's the current trend, and like I said, enjoy. Carrie?
Yes?
23rd of July.
Yeah.
You're a cusper of Cancer Leo, but I would categorize you as a Leo.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. And the last 2 to 3 years, one planet has been giving you a little spanking with responsibilities and maybe a little negative thinking or a feeling of being overwhelmed. Can you relate?
I don't know.
Anything going on with a child, just additional responsibilities, et cetera?
Her child is the Diva Cast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and well, it's not a child. It's actually had to start a full-time job, so maybe that's,
yes.
You know.
That's the sort of thing I'm talking about.
Hear
it's
you.
Not anything horrendous, but
no.
It has given you a more sobering look at life, et cetera. And
right.
It's like, do I really want to do this? What am I going to do when I grow up? That sort of thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as of this fall, all my baby Leos are going to start feeling better, laughing a lot more, and being a little more carefree. So it will take you roughly from September, about 6 months, to really feel the difference, but it's time for some more fun.
That's about the time my kids get into school, right? So I don't get the stress of having them home from school and trying to do the full-time work and coordinating all that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, Sharon, 29th of December, being a Capricorn.
Yes.
Okay. You are the one that I saw before I printed your pictures off.
Ooh,
I kept seeing
chills.
The red hair, and I was going, which one is this? And now this is just my little intuitive skill coming through, but have you had a little weight gain recently or been kind of bothered by your weight?
You should see the look on her face, Phyllis.
Sharon, you have to speak. People cannot see your face.
Well, I joined Weight Watchers last week. And I have just been, yes, it is haunting me.
Well, let me tell you, there are some major changes going on with all Capricorns between January of 2008 and January of 2009. And most of you are wandering around going, what am I supposed to be doing? What's coming up? You know, that sort of a thing. So basically, you're going to shed some people from your life. And what I mean by that is you may find that a friend moves away. You may find that you even relocate.
No.
There will be some changes that put you onto a different course.
You're going to quit your job.
Excellent.
Hey, Phyllis, and the listeners, too, it's interesting because this hasn't gone out yet, but the podcast that we did last week is when Sharon divulged that she had joined Weight Watchers, but that has not been posted yet.
Mm-mm.
So that's really interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you have a definite chance for making headway with the weight loss, et cetera, especially for 2008.
You're a hottie.
Now,
excellent.
I do not believe in calendar years. To me, they're more like energy years. And if you'll notice, by the fall of every year, people are revving up and getting ready for the next year. So actually, as of August of this year through August of 2008, that's what I categorize as 2008.
Okay.
From an energy standpoint. So you will start to shed those pounds. And if Weight Watchers doesn't do it, you'll try something else.
Excellent. Thank you. I love you, Phyllis.
Now, Suzanne.
Yes.
As an Aries, you never quit. You never give up. This spring, I have noticed, especially with a lot of Aries friends, that they've been going through minor little health doodahs, you know, just little things, headaches, you know, just minor little stomach upsets, that sort of thing. Basically, what I'm trying to say to an Aries is that for the spring and into early summer, you have not had your normal oomph about you.
Hmm.
And also, perhaps not enough cash. So, as of this fall, I do feel, and actually, you'll notice a change in trend in your energy as early as next week. Just watch for some doors to start popping open. And like I said, your normal pizzazz will be back.
Oh, good.
So go get them.
Oh, good. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you. And what do you see as for the DivaCast as a group, as a whole? Are we going to make it, Phyllis?
Well, I think this is fun, 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 because you naturally have two fire signs, the Leo and the Aries. And that gives you a lot of performance ability, a lot of ability to, let's say, create and want to get the show on the road. The Capricorn is the one that says, okay, let's bring this down to earth. Now let's plan this.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, and let's be methodical about it
oh
and
my
get
gosh.
It done.
That's wild.
And then, Amy, you're going, well, I don't know whether we should air this one.
Oh, my gosh, it's right on. That's so funny.
You are the little detective of the crowd.
Oh.
And you will search out different subjects that are appealing to the public, et cetera.
That is so funny.
So together, I think you make a fantastic team.
Oh. How does Julie play into that?
She's March,
what, 17th? No.
No, 5th.
March 5th.
She would be a little Pisces, and Pisces definitely is the intuitive of the group, and I find it interesting that she's, let's say, not as much into it, because Julie would have a little psychic sense about her as far as what moves to make, what to say, that sort of thing. She would be the, let's say, sensitive one of the group. Now, you will have to watch her at times. She could get her feelings hurt a bit or tend to be, like I said, she's more the visionary type to me. And very sensitive. So give her a little project and see how she comes through with it. Now, being the Pisces, their zodiac symbol is two fish. One day the fish swims upstream, the next day it swims downstream. So sometimes they have a problem making up their mind about things. However, they will change in midstream and can be brought around to your way of thinking, etc. So I consider her very moldable.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, Phyllis, how do you combine, you know, when you and I have talked before, you said that you combine astrology with your intuitive gift. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, by no means do I consider myself an authority with astrology.
Of course.
I consider that just a little extra hobby. I'm fascinated with the study of it, have been for years. And what I found is that astrology can show, let's say, an energy or a cycle of events, but it doesn't show the actual event. Okay?
Okay.
Like, for example, every house in a person's astrology chart, and there are 12 of them, represents certain areas of your life. Well, some of them have multiple meanings. And in astrology, we can say, well, you have a lot of emphasis on this area, but it can mean this, this, and this. Like, okay, your house of marriage, partnership, joint ventures. How do you know which one it's going to hit? So as an intuitive, lots of times I'll see the people that I can describe to you that will be involved, and whether or not it's a romantic trend involving marriage or whether it is involving business and that connection. So I tend to think that astrology grounds what I do intuitively, because it can definitely show a trend there. It can also give us a more accurate appraisal of timing, because as a psychic, I've learned there is no time. Sometimes I get a sense of the months and seasons of the year, but astrology would nail it down and show us what year.
That's interesting, because I used to go to a psychic in New York with my boss that would be like our little outing. And I was talking to one of the divas, and I can't remember which one, and I was saying time, I noticed that because some of the things she told me happened almost immediately. And there are some things, like she said, someone close to me would win a lottery. And that hasn't happened yet.
Ooh, I want to stand close to Sharon.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, because I kind of figured the time, it's not a factor when they're telling you things. How do you deal with if you see something that's bad?
Well, what's interesting, because I use a lot of self-hypnosis when I'm working with someone, and I tend not to take in the emotion involved with it, but I just kind of know what they can handle and what they cannot. And to me, I think that every event is like a blessing in disguise, and I try to relay it in that fashion, in a very positive manner rather than a negative one. So you really don't hear that many negatives come out of me as far as what I'm seeing. It's like there's a logical explanation to this. Now, how do we deal with it? And if there's a landmine out there and you know it, you have at least the free will of lightening the impact. And so that's the way I approach it. It's like, okay, this is coming, but perhaps you could be a little kinder to this person, be there for this person. They're going to be very ill, so be their little Florence Nightingale for a while. So I try to give everyone a way out of some of the impact of surprise as well as the grief. And I'm not a negative person, so I really try to stay away from really heavy-duty things. It's like I don't like seeing that myself.
That's a good way of looking at it. Even if you see something negative coming down the road, though, you don't hide that, or you don't choose to not voice that information. Is that correct, Phyllis?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. I do voice it, but I don't always get it with a horribly negative message. At one point, I was told by another client that I told her sister exactly what month and year she would die, only I didn't know it.
Wow.
And to give you an example, it's like, I said, what did I say? She said, you told her that she would go on a long journey. And I said, oh, God, I probably thought she was moving to California.
Aww.
Do you see what I mean?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then I examined my language, and I realized that journey is not really a part of my normal vocabulary in describing something like that. So it was like, I felt like I was being spoken through.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Phyllis, this is Carrie. When did you realize you had this gift? Were you a young child?
Well, according to what I remember, at age 3, I started having dreams because we had just lost my grandfather in the family. And I was able to tell my mother things that I should not have known after those dreams. Well, as a child, I considered those nightmares because it was like he was visiting me. And my mother kept trying to make me normal. So I led a normal teenage life and childhood. Then when I was in my early 20s and in college, I had this fascination for psychic phenomena. And so for a couple of my research papers in school, I chose metaphysics as subject matter. And I was out to prove that there was something to it and that there was some accuracy to it. Then when I moved to Atlanta, that's when I first discovered that I really knew things. It's like, here I was in a city not knowing anyone. I moved here for a particular position that I was offered, and I just knew things intuitively. As my social life progressed and so on, I started to be aware of the fact that I could embarrass myself very easily by, in an impromptu manner, responding to someone when they hadn't asked me the question verbally. They had only thought it.
Whoops!
Like, whoops!
Wow.
But I could have sworn I heard them say it, you know.
Wow. Really? So that just leads me to ask then, how do you get insight, or how does it work for you?
Well, I learn every day of my life. It's like, to me, this is like a foreign language. Only our parents don't really know that much about it, so they cannot teach us the meanings of the clues that we get and how to interpret them. So it's like every time I get feedback from a client, it's just fun for me because it's like, oh, my God, I know what I saw there, and it meant this. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I just feel that practice and learning and being aware that there's a gray area there that's not black and white, and it's like, if it doesn't mean this, then it must mean this, et cetera, et cetera. In many instances, my senses are so grandstanded that, for example, during the 70s, I could sit across the table from someone, and my nose would burn viciously, and I would go, I don't understand, why is my nose burning? And then I would find out later that they were pretty much heavy cocaine users.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean? So it's like,
wow.
You learn to interpret. It's like, why is this happening to me every time I sit across from you? You know?
So you
and then
feel
I started,
it. You felt what they were feeling, but you see it too? Different senses?
Yes. I see, I hear, I feel, I taste sometimes when I'm in front of someone. If someone, for example, if someone is diabetic and they have a dependency on a particular insulin or chemical that comes into their body, I will taste a chemical taste and I know immediately that they're on some form of medication.
Wow.
That is fascinating.
So okay. It's like all of your senses can be grandstanded at times and you just have to start watching, and this would be a good chore for you, Amy. Start putting the clues together and saying, okay, now why am I tasting differently? What is different about this person?
Really?
Yes.
Now, why did you pick me?
Because you're the little detective.
Oh, okay.
Scorpio detective.
Okay. So honestly, you really feel that all of us have these abilities that we've just potentially have just stomped them down to be normal in things? I mean, is that your thoughts on that, or am I?
Absolutely. Actually, in years past, I taught a few small development classes when I was doing my research on the accuracy of it. And out of every 4 people that I worked with, one would have an extreme gift. I did not have to tell her anything. For example, in one particular class, I got a box of old photos down, and I passed 5 or 6 photos around the room. And I had chosen those photos. Mm-hmm. One of the girls in one of the pictures was deceased, and she died when she was in her early 20s. I had one girl that took the pictures, and I said, just tell me whatever you can about each person, your feelings about them, etc. One of the girls took the picture of the one that was deceased, and she said, I see angel wings.
Oh, wow.
It's like I knew instinctively, it's like, that's the one I've got to work with, you know.
Mm.
Anyway, one would be super talented. Two would be what I call mediocre. And when I say mediocre, they can't put it all together, but they get some things, okay? And I had one gal who could call every name of every individual in your family and everyone around you, but she couldn't see a thing, she couldn't hear a thing, she couldn't taste anything, she couldn't tell you anything else. Now, and then there's always one out of four that just shuts down and says, I don't get anything. I don't understand this. In many instances, I found that perhaps family background or the embarrassment of it, it's like you certainly are different when you decide to announce to the public, hey, I can do this. As a matter of fact, when I go out socially now, unless the person knows that I'm a psychic, I do not state it. Mm. It's like, I have been known to mention numerous fields that I'm interested in rather than admit to a group of strangers that I'm a psychic. This can be a very draining process. We go through a very chronic fatigue-y type feeling after a really heavy session and so on. And it's like, I do not want to go out to have fun and have others ask me, well, what do you feel about this? Or what do you feel about that? Do you see what I mean? Because it's like at the end of the day, that can really give a true dyed-in-the-wool psychic a headache.
Now, what kind of methods do you use? Because I've been where they've used tarot cards. I've seen another psychic where she just like laid hands, literally.
Well, actually, I use psychometry above all. In other words, that's the use of an object of metal that conducts energy of that person. Now, the main thing you have to be specific about is that that's only been their metal object. Metal conducts energy. We all are made of energy. And if it's an object that's been worn more than 6 months by that specific owner, then it leads me. All that I can tell you is once years ago, I asked my husband to hold a pair of earrings. And I said, you know the person that owns these, but I deliberately had her leave them here so that I could show you some of what I do. I said, tell me the first thing that pops in your mind the minute you take hold of these. And he said, I see this icky green color. I said, okay, what color is Carol's car?
Yeah, that's wild.
So do you see what I mean? So I use psychometry. And then, basically like I explained earlier, I use a form of self-hypnosis. I have done this so long that I can start staring at anything and just kind of be out there. And what I did when I first started working with this, I needed a focal object so that I was comfortable, I didn't have to stare at the person, I wasn't nervous, etc., and self-conscious about what I was doing. So I chose a regular deck of cards just basically so that I could stare at them and go bye-bye. I have no meanings for them. I don't always use them. I suggest that anyone that is experimenting and wants to really get centered, take about 3 deep breaths and just feel it circulate through your head and then exhale.
Wow.
And that kind of puts you in a state of relaxation and allows you to kind of clear your mind of your problems and what's going on in your life so that you're focused on the other individual. But my best advice to anyone that really wants to learn about this is, Carrie, is that they just go for it and play. I mean, just literally play with it and see what they come up with. Do it as a fun sort of thing rather than a serious thing. Because it takes a lot of experience to, like I said, learn the language.
Well, I heard it said somewhere that it's sort of like singing, that everyone can sing, but that some people are very talented and some, you know, maybe a little tone deaf.
But, well, I consider it a gift as well as a curse.
Yeah.
I feel like God gave us many gifts, but at the same time, it's difficult to live with in that not everyone understands it.
Yeah. Do you see people that have passed over? If you're doing a reading or whatever, do you have those experiences where their loved ones come in behind them and things like that?
Okay, the way that I handled that, I've never been Miss Doom and Gloom by any means, so I don't like to spend an entire session on people that aren't here. Now, basically, I feel like we're the ones that are stuck here, and we have to deal with it, and so let's handle this positively and see what kind of guidance we can get.
Right.
I have many people who bring me photos of deceased relatives, etc., and I'm able to get their pain by touching their photographs sometimes and little messages from them. But actually, I don't consider myself a spiritual medium, if you know what I mean. It's like if you describe the person physically to me, I'll tell you anything that I get, and I recognize them when I see them. But I don't go in there looking for them. I have, of course, a lot of beliefs there that when we die, we don't have our physical body any longer. And so, therefore, it takes a lot of strength and energy for a spirit to completely manifest. Frankly, the times that I have seen my deceased husband, I've just merely seen a shadow standing at the back door or something. But I could tell that it was his elongated figure because he was tall. But now, one thing that I do know they can do, and don't ask me how, I'm no authority with this, but sense of smell. It's like you can smell their favorite cologne, their favorite flower. You can smell their cigar.
That's fascinating.
Phyllis, this is Carrie. When my dad died, I went upstairs in my closet and I had taken his jacket and his hat from his car he had outside. And it just caught me in the heart when she said that. Because like, oh my gosh, I remember that. I sat in my closet and read letters from him. And I swear that I could smell cigarette smoke, and he was a smoker. He struggled with it his whole life. And I just remember saying, you're allowed to smoke now, aren't you? It's like, it was so clear. It was like he was sitting right there smoking. It was wild.
Wow.
Well, I do feel that they do that because it doesn't frighten us. Do you see what I mean? It's like they're waving at us and saying, hey, I'm here. And I tend to treat it, like I said, in an upbeat fashion. If they have a message for us, lots of times we get that warning. I was once on my way home from work, and I knew that a particular friend's grandmother had passed away, although I had never met her, and I felt very sad about that. And I was nowhere near the cemetery or any of the physical area that the family should have been, and I heard this little voice say, I'm gone now. And I said, if you are real, then give me a sign. And at that exact moment, my friend pulled up at the same intersection.
Wow.
And there it was. And I went, okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
And wow. I mean, I got goosies after that. Because like I said, we don't hear, and it wasn't like, we don't have the same vocal cords when we cross over, obviously. So it was just this little voice in my head. I heard, I'm gone now.
Wow. So you still, even though you know you have the gift, you still are testing it and not always for sure.
Always, always, always I will test it. It's like I want to prove that there's some credibility to it. Do you
really
see what I mean?
Well, Phyllis, let me ask you, we're just about out of time. How would you ask our listeners, if they're interested in contacting you, what is the best way to do that?
Probably through my email, and I could give them further detail from that source.
Okay. And that again, that will be on our website, thedbcast.com.
Can I say one more thing? I was picking up my son one time, and I am friends with the mom. She tends to be a bit of a talker, and I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to go inside. I'm not going to go inside. I don't have time. Well, I pull into the driveway, and I promise you, there was a voice that said, go inside and tell her to go back to school to be a sonographer. I thought, I don't want to go inside. I don't want to go inside. I thought, okay, I get out of my car. I knock on her door. Now, she had been struggling with what she wanted to do, so this isn't like completely out of the blue. I said, Betsy, I just feel like I need to tell you, you need to be a sonographer. And she looked at me and she said, sure. And she goes, I have been praying for God to tell me what I need to be doing, because she was very torn on whether to go to this school. Every once in a while. Something.
Can I tell you my little intuitive story?
Yes.
Well, this goes back a few years, but I had had some situations that happened where I had a gut feeling that something was going to happen and didn't say anything. And then after the fact would say to my husband, I had this feeling that something was going to happen. He wasn't quite believing me, you know. So we were driving to Boston for a Thanksgiving dinner with his family. And I started to get this gut feeling of dread, like something really bad was going to happen. So I'm having that same kind of thing, that conversation in my head going, he's going to think you're silly. It's nothing. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to tell him. I said, Joe, I don't know what it is, but I have this, all I can explain is this feeling of dread. And I said, I'm telling you now because you're not going to believe me if something happens. And I tell you after the fact, I said, just be careful. And I'm not kidding you. Within like 2 minutes, we go around the bend. We're on an expressway, 2-lane highway, and there is a car dead stop in front of us in our lane. And he swerves over, comes to the side of the road, and he is just shaking. And I'm like, whoo, I feel better now, you know? And it was just wild because it's like, if you get that gut feeling, that intuitive feeling, you just have to listen to it, you know?
You know, I think women have it a lot more than men. And I'm not sure if it's our makeup or if it's the male has just always, I don't know, whatever part of the brain they work off of, which I'm really not sure.
Let's not go there.
Brain?
They're a lot more pragmatic.
I was interested in what she said about children because some people, if they have that gift and the parents don't support it, you know, I bet there's a lot of people that just don't really tune into that. But if your parents are open to it, then it's
different.
They
tamp it down. Yeah. You know,
it sounds like that's what happened to Phyllis. Phyllis, are you still with us?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened to you? Your parents, you said, tried to make you normal?
Yes, we giggle about that to this day because my parents are still living. But actually, it was something my mother understood to a certain extent because there had been members of her family who had shown that they had the same ability.
I see.
But she wanted me to have a normal childhood, normal life. And there's nothing normal about this whenever you really stop and think about it because not everybody does it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it would be more normal if people were more open to it. Does it run in families?
I have found that it's interesting. I feel like perhaps certain souls are put in the family to work through things together, et cetera. And I've seen a lot of evidence of at least the openness and the ability to understand that the gift runs in certain families.
Okay, I have another question. I'm sorry. I'm just really interested in this. What do you think about soulmates? What's your take on that?
Oh, I love it. I am a Libra, and Libra loves anything that has to do with love and romance and soulmates.
Do you think there's only one soulmate for each person, or do you think there's different soul connections for different reasons?
No, it's really interesting that you ask that. Many, many years ago, being in the field, I meet a lot of people who are also connected to this field, and I happened to have the astrology chart of my then deceased husband and of another man that I almost married prior to my marriage to my husband. I had an astrologer friend that was looking at it, and she says, "My God, how did you pull in two soulmates in one lifetime?"
Aww.
And I said, "It was a very difficult choice."
Aww.
Wow.
Do you see what I mean? And I'd always kind of pondered over the two charts going, they were so much alike, and so on and so forth. But my point about soulmates is, no, I do feel that we have more than one soulmate. And soulmates don't always marry. They just show up, and there is that bond and that feeling between the two that is inexplainable. It's like they have the same interests. My husband and I had the same body markings. We had...
What do you
actually
mean you
had
the same
we had moles and scars in the same places all over our body.
That's wild.
Yeah. And so I call it like a twin flame thing also, and you'll see some reference to that in some of the metaphysical books. It's like there's a twin flame and there's a soulmate. So it's fascinating because twin flames have the ability to answer each other's question without finishing the sentence. And it's not just that common ground that you learn after being married a while. It's like it just happens from day one. It's like, ew, why did you say that, you know?
So that's sometimes when you get that feeling like you've known this person, or it's almost like you're supposed to be together. You get a very strong reaction to them, sometimes very positive, and then other times it could be negative, and there's no logical explanation for that.
Exactly. And also, it's like one soulmate doesn't always recognize the other one at the beginning. It's like there have been some fears or something embedded in the subconscious. You know, I call our subconscious the storage bank, the know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the soulmates may run or be a little more difficult to accept the contact or connection.
My husband was that way, Phyllis. I had to tame that man, track him down, and tame him.
But wasn't it a great prize when you tamed him and conquered him, you know?
Yeah, but it was funny because I knew very shortly after we met, within 2 months, I thought, oh, this is the man I'm supposed to marry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was a little gun shy. I don't know why. It's been a great ride with me, but I don't know.
Definitely knows what you did to him in the former life.
Probably. So, that, do you believe in reincarnation?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Can I make a suggestion? Phyllis, will you come back and visit with us another show?
That's wonderful.
I know. Obviously, there's a lot of energy around
I know.
This.
I need to find out, you know, how skinny I'm going to really get.
Well, then I guess that's the end of the show. You can always give us feedback at thedivacast.com and leave us a message at 678-884-0524. Thanks to Natalie Brown for our intro music, Queen of Me. And today we're closing with Luma, Never to Be Seen.
Thanks guys.
Everybody. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
the best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.